said there, if you didn't sing, he's going to get Bob up here to sing. I thought about the fellow that went to the opera for the first time. And this lady walked out, and he thought that has got to be the most beautiful woman that he had ever saw in his life, his instant love. And when she started singing, he thought that has got to be the most beautiful voice he had ever heard in his life. And so he said right there, she's going to be my wife. Well, to make a long story short, about 3 weeks they were married. On their wedding night, they went to their honeymoon suite. She pulled her wig off, took her glass eye out, pulled her false teeth out. He looked at her and said, sing, honey, sing. I say, sing, folks, sing. Amen. We certainly don't want Bob singing. Amen. But we will let him pray. Come up here and lead us in prayer, Bob. Amen. Put him up here so you know who I'm talking about. Amen. But let's pray and ask the Lord to bless tonight. What a good service the Lord gave us this morning. And let's pray that the Lord will work in our hearts tonight.
Try to pray after that. Let's pray. Father, again, we want to thank you for allowing us to be in this place today. You know our hearts. We'd rather be in your house with your people as anywhere on earth. We thank you for what you've done in this place this morning. And it's not by accident any one person's here tonight. You've prepared the message. You prepared the messenger. Prepare our hearts that they might be receptive to your word. I pray that you'd do something fresh and something new. Holy Spirit of God, come to temple for Christ's sake. Reveal yourself afresh in you through this church to this community. Bless our leadership. Place a hedge about them. Guard them. Not let Satan destroy them. Go with us when we leave this place and empower us that we might serve you, that we might be salt and light. And for all you do, we praise your holy name. You're so worthy of all of our praise. For we pray this prayer in the name that's above every name, the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right, you may be seated. An announcement. Let's see. Next Sunday night, the Awana Guards will be putting on a special program over in the Family Life Center. It's in what they've named it is Treats for the Sweet. And that'll be this coming Sunday night, a week from tonight. It'll be immediately after the service, so you'll go over there. And there's going to be some games. Let's see, what all we got here? We're going to have treats. There's going to be a treat for the first 100 children who come. There will be a gift basket drawing, and it says it's too big to tell. And so there'll be a drawing for a gift basket. There will be a newlywed game featuring, it says, some of the biggest names at Temple Baptist Church. Great fun. And also the world's largest Hershey Kiss. You will be able to see that next Sunday night. So don't forget about that next Sunday night. Now, there is going to be an entrance fee or whatever, a $3 charge. I'm sure they're raising money for the Awanas or whatever. And if you'd like to get your ticket in advance, you can see any of the Awana guards. And or I guess I'm sure somebody will be at the door, but it'll be $3. And so you don't forget about that next Sunday night. That'll be a good time. Well, I'm excited about the things that are going on in Sunday school. I am just thrilled to death to see all the people that's coming to Sunday school and all that were here this morning. In the past 4 weeks, this morning we had 441. I don't think I mentioned that this morning. 441 in Sunday school this morning. And we've had 475, we've had 467, and I think 447 over the last month. And that is just a tremendous increase over before we started the contest. And I just want to say praise the Lord for the growth and for the people that's come in here. And I tell you something else, we've really been thinking, we're talking about it this week. I don't know when the last time, and I've been asking around today, the last time that our church has been over 500 people in Sunday school. And maybe some of you do, but I talked to some of the deacons, whatever. We even got our books out in the back of Sunday school. Went the last 2 years anyways, all we could get to at the time. But we have not been over 500, and I don't know how long. Let's get 500 people this Sunday in Sunday school. We've had, like I said, we've had 475 already, so we just need to work just a little bit harder, bring just one more person. Let's see, 500 people in Sunday school, and we're really praying for by the end of the contest, on the last day of the contest, on March 8th, we're praying for 700. How many of you believe we can get 500 here by next Sunday? Do you believe that? All right, everybody that's got your hand raised, you need to get on the phone this week, and you need to call people. And how many believe we can have 700 in Sunday school by the end of the contest? Not as many hands on that one. I don't understand that. But we want to see 500 by this coming Sunday. So let's work a little harder. I tried to find out when the last time we had 500. I couldn't do it. But let's reach 500 this coming Sunday, all right? And I think God will be pleased with that. Let's get people in our Sunday school class. We have got, we've got a problem in Sunday school, a tremendous problem in Sunday school. It's a great problem in Sunday school. We've got too many people and too little space. And that's a great problem to have. And over the next several weeks, maybe the next month, there's going to be 6 different classes that's going to be doing some changing, going to move to a new room, going to combine, going to change this and that and the other. And if you have no idea, Sunday school teacher, what I'm talking about, if I haven't already talked to you, you're not one of them, so don't worry about it. I've already talked to all the classes, but we're going to be seeing some classes move into new classrooms, into bigger classrooms. Actually, we're going to begin a new Sunday school class here in about 2 weeks, and you'll hear more about that. But God's really blessing here. We're excited about what God's doing in our Sunday school. We want to, I mentioned to the leaders a couple of weeks ago in our Saturday leadership training, we, as a theme in our Sunday school department, is building our church through Sunday school. We want to see people come to this church. We want to see people get underneath the preaching of our pastor and the choir and things that God's doing here. We want people to be involved in that. And we need our Sunday school classes to be involved in that. Let's build our Sunday school classes and build our church through the Sunday school department. And I'm excited about what God's doing. So let's keep working and let's keep seeing God bless and see people saved. Amen? All right. God bless you.
We have some Awana leaders that have some awards to give or announcements to make. Angie, I know you're one. And if you have some awards to give this evening to the Awana children, please come on up close by and we'll call on you in just a minute.
Well, I think Brian said everything I needed to say about next Sunday night, but we hope you join us over at our fellowship. We will have leaders at the door tonight. We're going to sell tickets. If you don't have to stand in line next week, you can purchase those tonight. But we'll have a couple of our leaders at the door after church. Thank you.
Okay, Awana Awards, be ready next Sunday night. You may see some of our young ladies are all dressed up tonight and look so pretty as always, but a little extra special dressing this evening. We're having our Valentine Queen candidates presented to you tonight, and we will ask you to vote. This will be at the end of the service, and stay focused on the singing and the preaching. And after that, we're going to let you vote for the Teen Valentine Queen, 1998. We're going to the Choo Choo, the Crystal Ballroom, for our banquet this coming Friday. It's going to be a spectacular event. A young man from a nearby church will be coming to preach, and it's going to be an exciting program in an exciting, exquisite place. And I hope that your teenagers are involved. If they're not already signed up to go with us, please get them to come. We're trying to teach a little bit of dinner etiquette, like chew with your mouth closed and stuff like that. And we want to teach them to dress up and go somewhere fancy. And when they get old, like some of you, they'll look back on this and they'll say, oh, that was a good time. I was footloose, fancy free, and doodadded up, and boy, we had a time. Glandura set in, and anyway, it'll be great. So please stay tonight after the service. I understand somebody borrowed our spotlight bulb, our extra bulb, and our light blue, their light blue, the one they borrowed. So, ladies, I'm sorry. We wanted to put you on the spotlight, but we'll do the best we can. Amen? So prayerfully vote tonight. I'm going to ask you to circle two names. Instead of just one, I'll get two, and we'll just tally them up that way. So please, prayerfully, we want a young lady that's a good example. All year long, she'll be thought of as our Valentine Queen. So do it prayerfully, from your heart, and God bless you. And we'll do that at the end of the service. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have all those that are visiting with us tonight. We appreciate all of your visitors that are here, and we're certainly thrilled about you being in the services. Check your bulletin now for all the other things that are going on, and instead of receiving our offering here at this point, we'll receive it at the end of the service. But let's ask the Lord now to continue to move through the service. We'll turn the choir loose, and then we'll get the Warren family back up in just a little while. But let's pray for a special touch on this service. Father, thank you for all that you're doing. We open our hearts to what you have for us this night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sometimes our eyes When I was just a child, I heard the beautiful story of how you loved me so. You died on Calvary, and though I claimed you way back then as Lord Almighty, things haven't changed. My love's still the same. You're still Lord to me.
Conservative or liberal, however they're defined,
It's not about interpretation or the judgment of the mind. It's the opposite of politics, power or prestige. It's about a simple message, and whether we believe, it's still the cross. It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name, the name of Jesus, that is born to save the lost. It's still the cross. We can water down theology and reach the world to suit our needs. We can justify sweet subtle lies that are wrapped in noble deeds. We can alter our convictions to adapt to social whims, but we cannot change the gospel and the truth contained within. It's still the cross. It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name, the name of Jesus, that is born to save the lost. It's still the cross. Though some may say I it's still the cross.
Coming down, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace. You may be seated.
Well, it's a joy to have back with us tonight the Warren family. And let me say just a word before they come. I appreciate families like this that have given themselves to the work of God on a full-time basis and travel all over this country and Sunday after Sunday and week after week and different things. And it is a sacrifice. And nobody knows what a sacrifice it is being out there on the road from week to week to week to week and things like that. A lot of times you like to be home plowing, garden, planting maters and taters and a few things like that. But I appreciate these folks. And as I said this morning, I met them in South Carolina, and they were in the meeting all week long and thoroughly enjoyed them and their kids, getting to know them. And they're trying to figure me out. But I think they're about to figure me out just a little bit. But I have enjoyed them, enjoyed the fellowship. I enjoyed their music. But I enjoy seeing them as they bring these children up, see them as they serve in the Lord in different things. So let's give them a good welcome back tonight. Brother David, your family come right ahead.
Well, I knew I was country, but I didn't know I was that country. Amen. Guaranteed. Well, I'm just glad to be back. Raise your hand. I'm glad you're saved. Raise your hand. I'm glad you're Baptist. I was backslidden. We're going to start off doing an old song, and this is a song that talks about, well, it talks, says that he set me free. I remember that old song, amen? Now, I like these upbeat songs, amen? I enjoy being able to tap your foot and enjoy yourself every now and then. You know, it's not important you remember the exact date or the exact hour, but you need to remember the fact that it happened, amen? He set me free. I like that picking.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. Then Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God, he set me free.
Well, a lot of independent Baptists lost their religion right there, brother. I told those musicians, I said, y'all just pick for a while. I like that, amen. Now listen, some of your socks are rolled down around your ankles from patting your foot so hard. By now, you might as well go ahead and clap your hands and enjoy yourself. It won't hurt a bit, I promise.
Goodbye to sin and things that you found. Not all this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm walking and I'm praying to. Glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. He set me free.
That's all right. I'm going to do, like I said this morning, I'm going to do some of them old songs. I hope you like these old songs. This is an old song. It talks about being satisfied. Now, friend, I'm not satisfied with what I see. You see, the bottom line is, I'm just a stranger passing through a weary land. This is not my home. I'm not going to be home until I get to heaven and I put on my spotless robe, if you will. Amen. Then I know I'll be home, put on my sanctified robe. Song says, I'll be satisfied.
I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. When with my thoughts resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied. When my soul's singing in that promised land above, I'll be satisfied. Praising Christ, Savior, for redeeming grace and love, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. Well, with my soul's resting presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied. When I call transom of heart and golden shore, I'll be satisfied. There I'll join the angels sing praise and more, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. Well, with my soul resting
When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied, satisfied.
Well, that takes a lot of R. We don't have air in South Georgia. We got R down there. It takes a lot of R. But anyhow, I want to slow the pace down and do a song that was written by a good friend of ours out in Texas, and Brother Johnny Flanagan. I don't know if you know Brother Flanagan or not. And he writes a lot of these humorous kind of songs. And anyhow, he wrote the first part of this song, and then I came along and wrote the last part of it. And it talks about a young fellow that didn't want to go to church and Sunday school on Sunday morning. Now listen, if you're missing church and Sunday school, you're missing the best part of God's plan for the Christian life. Amen. Say amen or shake your head up and down every now and then. I'm kind of like Dr. Fred Vault. If your head falls off, we got some Elmer's glue, it'll work good. So say amen or shake your head up and down every now and then. The song says the preacher's on my toes again. Well, it's Sunday morning, I hear the church bus stop and blow its horn. I hear the wife say, goodbye, my child. Your dad and I will see you after a while. Oh, but hate to go. That preacher's going to preach to me, I know. He'll tell the congregation all about my sins. I just know that he'll step on my toes again. On my toes again. The preacher's stepping on my toes again. He seems to know just what I've done and where I've been. The preacher, he's back on my toes again. On my toes again, like a man who doesn't care about my feelings. On the road again, well, I must take my church letter and I'll be leaving. He hurt my feelings. On my toes again, the preacher's stepping on my toes again. He seems to know just what I've done and where I've been. Preacher, he's back on my toes again. The preacher, he's back on my toes again. Now, brother, I tell you, it doesn't bother me in the least for somebody to say that I sound like that Willie Nelson character. That does not offend me. But the first one of you says that I look like him, well, that's another story, amen? I've never seen anything so ugly in all my natural born days, preacher. I told somebody the other day, I said he looked like an armpit with teeth, amen? That's about the best definition I've heard of him, amen? I'm just kind of old-fashioned. I think God's people don't look right, act right, and smell right. I'm just kind of funny like that, amen? I believe it ought to be a testimony. Say amen. That's right. And anyhow, we're going to practice one on you if that'll be all right. We haven't done this one just a couple of times. We just started our kids on their harmony parts here, not... we was talking today, I guess in the past year or so, and this is a song that talks about what we're going to do one day. It says, I'm going to wear a robe and crown, amen. How are you excited about that? Well, there's a couple of you. We'll pray for the rest of you, amen. The song says, I'm going to wear a robe and crown.
Watch ye therefore, you know not the day, when the Lord shall call your soul away. If you're fighting, striving for the right, you shall wear a robe and crown.
Gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
Gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
When the trumpet sounds.
When the trumpet sounds.
When the trumpet sounds.
When the trumpet sounds. I'm gonna wear a crown.
Gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
Just as soon as the feet strike
Zion,
then
I'm heavy burden.
Gonna
put on the robe and glory. Shout and tell a glad story. Jesus, tell how I made it over. Put on my robe and glory. Shout and tell the glad story. We shall wear a robe and crown. Watch ye therefore, you know not the day, when the Lord shall call your soul away. If you're fighting, you're striving for the right, you shall wear a robe and crown. Trumpet sounds. I'm gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
Just as soon as
the feet strike Zion,
then
I'm a heavy burden. Put on my robe and glory.
Shout,
tell, glad story. glory. Gonna sit outside King Jesus. Tell how I made it over. Put on my robe, our robe in glory. Shout, tell glad story. We shall wear a robe and crown. We shall wear a robe and crown. A robe and crown.
That's a little different for us. We don't do too much of that, brother, but that's a little different. Anyhow, I want the kids to gear up. I'm going to let them sing another. This is another song that features Brent. We've had three or four requests today for people wanting to hear Brent sing again, our youngest one. But while they're getting ready, I want to take a minute and introduce everybody. And brother, like I always say, the fact that I got such a pretty wife shows that there's hope for everybody. Boy, y'all want to say amen real bad, ain't you? I can see that. Somebody asked me the other day if she worshiped me, and I said, brother, she brings me 3 burnt offerings a day, and if that's not worship, I don't know what is. So. kind of like a fellow I heard about here not long ago. He's having marital problems, and his friend came to him. He said, listen, let me and my wife take you and your wife out to eat. And said, you do just what I do, and they'll patch your marriage up. So anyhow, there they were sitting at the restaurant. One fellow looked over his wife, and he said, would you pass the honey? Another fellow thought, well, I like it. That's pretty good. A few minutes later, he said, would you pass the sugar? Another fellow thought, well, man, I like that. I'm going to try that with my wife, see if I can't patch my marriage up. So after a little while, he got up in the nerve, reached over and grabbed his wife by the hand and looked real sincerely into her eyes, and he said, would you pass the tea bag? Now, needless to say, he's still having problems, amen. But I tell you what, Devaney's doing a tremendous job. We'll give my wife, Devaney, a hand tonight. And then Troy, he's our oldest one. He plays bass guitar and acoustic guitar and sings, and he does real well. We had him in the hospital here a couple years ago. He had a ruptured appendix and was in there for about 3 weeks, and they operated on him a couple of times. He don't look any better, but he sure does feel a whole lot better. Amen. If you would, give Troy, our oldest one, a hand. And then Rachel, she's the middle one, and that's tough being the girl and being in the middle, amen? And she's praying that this new baby's going to be another baby sister, little baby sister for her. And but she's a pretty one, bunch. She does a good job. We'll give Rachel a hand tonight. And then Brent, we're not real sure what it is that he does, but whatever it is, it's a mighty fine job, amen? We'll give Brent a hand tonight. Everywhere we go, we've got 2 or 3 little old ladies that wants to adopt Brent, and we thought about that, if you know, not really. We like to pick. I was going to tell y'all, everybody sitting on the front few rows here, it's a dangerous place to sit when Brent plays that cowbell. Because you see, every now and then, he loses that stick, and you don't know if it's going frontwards or backwards, amen? And so anyhow, this is a song that they sing. It talks about the old trusty Bible. It's to the tune of the old Red River Valley. Y'all remember that old song? And I like this song. But you know, the problem with most Christians is that it's the old rusty Bible instead of the old trusty Bible. You hear what I'm saying? And my daddy, I remember years ago, used to preach a sermon called Spare Tire Religion. We just pull it out when we need it. And you know, that's kind of the way most Christians do it nowadays, is it not? I think we ought to consult God when we first have problems. Say amen? And not as a last resort. Yeah, the song says the old trusty Bible. Daddy always said it's picking and grinning time, so we're going to pick a little bit. And like I said this morning, I come from a family that plays all these guitars and fiddles and stuff. Now listen, if you're offended, by all this, mandolins and fiddles and stuff like that. Well, just hang on, and we'll move to something else in just a little bit. I told somebody the other day, a lot of Christians are going to be real surprised when we get to heaven, we get to the pearly gates, and St. Peter pulls up in a pickup truck and says, y'all get in the back, God wants you up in the big house, amen? Now, you might think, well, Brother Dave, I didn't read it quite like that, amen? Like I said this morning, well, the difference between a violin and a fiddle, I think it's Ricky Skaggs I heard say here not long ago, the difference between a violin and a fiddle, he said, with a fiddle, you keep timing with your foot. With a violin, you do it with the eyebrows and all that stuff. I like it. That's all right. But anyhow, this is a song that says, when the saints go marching in. Somebody said, Brother Dave, is that the New Orleans version of that? No, this is God's version. We try to stay away from that New Orleans stuff. Amen. Anyhow, the song says, when the saints go marching in. Kids change over a little bit. Rachel came along here not too long ago, and she decided that she wasn't going to let Big Brother outdo her playing that bass, so she decided she was going to play it as well. And as a matter of fact, we're starting Brent playing it on it now, so next time some of you may see us, we may be having him up here playing. You never know about that. And anyhow, this is a song that talks about heaven a little bit, and I like these songs that talks about heaven, amen? I like songs about the blood and about heaven, and I just thrill my heart, brother, to see some of these people up in the choir, man, they was having a meeting up here by themselves. I like that, amen? I like to see people that are excited about what they got. Amen. My daddy always called that morbid sabbacus, the way some of these people worship. Amen. I don't like that either. Anyhow, the song says, when we all get to heaven. Morning, I was talking about, some of those doors that Lord's opened for us to spread the gospel, and I had the privilege of going on a couple of missions trips last year, and I like missions trips. The preacher and I was talking about that yesterday, and there's a bush pilot that I meet with down there on the border of Mexico, and And what we do, we get in the plane, and we fly down to the interior of those places that, you know, the most missionaries can't get to. You know, the problem with most bush pilots are so much bush and not enough pilot, amen? And, but anyhow, I remember some of those times we'd fly into. I remember one time we flew into particular was down there, and it was the Aztec Indians, and the only way to get there was either ride on horse for 4 days or to fly in an airplane. I'd much rather fly in the airplane, amen? And I felt like I was on that old TV show. You remember that old TV show, Fantasy Island, where everybody comes out and meets you and waves at you, you know, and everybody in the whole village come out to meet us, and we landed out in the middle of a cow pasture, of all things, and boy, I got prayed up several times on that trip, I'll promise you. But you know, everywhere we'd land, we were surrounded by soldiers with machine guns, you know, searching the plane for dope and things like that. And if you think I can pick the banjo fast now, you ought to see me with a machine gun pointed at me, amen? Buddy, I can flat get with the program. And, you know, we'd witness and tell those guys about Jesus everywhere we went. And even out in the middle of nowhere there, we were surrounded by 5 soldiers. And so we invited them to the services that morning. And you got to understand, those Federales are not allowed to go to any kind of a religious event. But, man, all 5 of them came anyhow. Man, 4 of them came and got saved. Amen. Thank God for it. And we saw a number of them saved on that trip, and it was just a tremendous trip. And then the second trip we went on to, we went all the way down to the Yucatan, which is, you know, that's almost out of Mexico. And, man, we went places that National Geographic hadn't discovered yet, preacher. I mean, it was primitive. And we got in those 4-wheel drives and drove back up in the mountains back there to the Maya Indians. And those fish sticks tied together and grass thrown across the roof. That's just the way they live there. And we dedicated a church building, first of all, while I was there. By the way, this is the second verse of that song. I like to see people get saved, but I think I need to be grounded in a New Testament church, amen? Place to worship the Lord in. But anyhow, we dedicated a church building, and then we had set up to have services that night. I have a video projector I take to the mission field, and we'd show some of those Christian films in Spanish there. And then we'd sing to them for a while, and I'd sing one or two in Spanish. You didn't know I could do that, did you, preacher? Amen? It has a bad Georgia slang to it, or a drawl, if you will. But I'd do it anyhow, and we'll pick the banjo and all that kind of stuff. And I remember we started that service that night. We had between 400 and 500 of them to start out with. Man, by the time we was 30 minutes into the program, we had over 2,000 people out there. I mean, people lined up down that road. It was amazing. And we gave the invitation, and people came, and then they came, and they came. And brother, I sang every invitation song that I'd even thought I'd heard, and after a while, I had to start making them up. And somebody said, man, that's the only time I ever heard Rocky Top sing as an invitation song. But, you know, last count we had over 100 of them come and get saved. And friend, that's the name of the game. Somebody said, Brother Dave, if you stand on a street corner, pick a banjo, and draw a crowd and tell them about Jesus, will you do it in a heartbeat, friend? Amen. That's the name of the game. Hook or crook, tell them about Jesus. Amen. That's right. But anyhow, I just thought I'd take a minute to share that with you. You be sure and pray for us. I told you we was doing some of these other things this year. I've already got 2 trips back down to Mexico lined up this year. But that's the main thing. We're going back to see the Huateca Indians this time around. Well, I guess we're getting in all the Indian tribes while we're down there. And so you be much in prayer about that we'll see some people saved. But anyhow, I want to play one that says, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. I don't know about you, but I don't want no cabin in the corner. Amen. I'm looking for my mansion. I want all that God's promised me, no more and no less. I've got a mansion. Thank you. That thing is more machine than it is anything else. It takes both hands and both knees and both feet to play it. Back years ago when I traveled with my mom and dad, my daddy always said if I ever opened my mouth, he was going to stick a harmonica in that too. So I learned to keep my mouth shut at an early age. I want to take just a minute and say something about our tapes and so forth, if that'll be okay, Pastor. And I know many of you are wondering, where in the world did these people come from? And to kind of give you a brief background on myself, I traveled with my folks who were in evangelism, singing and preaching. They did that for a total of 15 years full-time. And I traveled with them for the first 13 years. And then I left and went to Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. There I traveled representing the college for nearly 3 years. And Devin and I met while we were at college and got married, and we left there 12 years ago. And so I've been doing this. This month actually starts my a total of 28 years that I've been doing this full time. I don't look that old, do I? Amen. And the Lord's blessed in many, many ways. And I was telling somebody here the other day, the past few years we've been averaging a week a year at home, give you an idea. And the rest of the time we're just out traveling. But we're trying to slow down and go home a little more often. I had a preacher say, man, I'd rather burn out than I had rust out. I said, what's the difference? You're still out. Amen. I don't want to burn out or rust out. I want to slow down and be doing this for a long time. Amen. But anyhow, the first tape that Devin and I did is entitled In a Family Tradition. It has a lot of songs like When I Get Carried Away, Preacher's on My Toes Again, Lord Lay This Burden, Leaving On Out, He Stopped Loving Hair Today. Did you ever hear any of my hair songs, Preacher? And I've got a newer one, to the follow-up to that on one of my newer tapes called To All the Curls I Loved Before. Some of you recognize that tune, don't you? Amen. I was going to tell those of you with receding hairlines, I found an old South Georgia cure for that. If you'll rub some green persimmon juice up there on the top, it'll draw your sideburns up there. Now, these young people don't even know what persimmons are, do they, brother? Amen. But anyhow, if you like some of those humorous kind of songs, you'll like that. And then we did the Together tape. And has a lot of songs, Saints Be Singing, Power and Prayer, Camp Meeting, Only God Knows the Abortion Song. A lot of others were proud of her on that. And then I did an instrumental tape. And Lord willing, I'm going to try to do another instrumental tape this year. But if you like the banjo music and the steel guitar and dobro, and I didn't even bring the dobro with me this time, but if you like that kind of music, you'll enjoy that. And then Devney did a solo tape. And man, the picture alone's worth buying that for. It don't have me on it. Y'all want to say amen again, ain't you? I can see that. But anyhow, a lot of songs like Inside the Veil. And by the way, that song Inside the Veil is a song the Lord allowed me to write several years ago. And I had a recording company from Nashville call me not long ago, and they're interested in releasing that nationwide as a single. So we're kind of excited about some of the things the Lord has done and blessed us with our music. Once Upon a Hill, Woes of a Preacher's Wife, Roses Will Bloom Again, a lot of others we're proud of. And then we did the R Gang tape. And this is a unique tape for us for several reasons. It's the first tape we'd ever done where the kids sing on there with us. And also, it's the first tape we'd ever done where all the songs are songs that Devney and I have written. And our music is on contract still with Nashville Gospel Publishing Company. And so they were excited when we wrote that many songs at one time. Songs like You Can't Walk With God and Run With The Devil Too, that sounds like a sermon, don't it? Amen. We're Brothers and Sisters, The Song of Eutychus, New and Improved, a lot of other songs that we're proud of. And then I had a brainstorm. I try not to do that very often because I hurt myself and I don't really like to do that. But anyhow, I had a brainstorm. I wanted to do a recording with some of my favorite singing groups in the world and people that practice what they preach and live what they sing. Preacher and I was talking about this tape yesterday, and some of these people have been offered jobs by our Main Street groups and quartets, and they still choose to minister in our local churches. I don't know about you, but I appreciate that. I really do. I think we counted 15 or 16 singers that we got in the studio all together at one time, and we put this tape together with 32 songs on it. Man, you've heard of All Day Suckers. This is an all-day tape. It's 99.8 minutes worth of recording. And I'm kind of prejudiced, but I think it's one of the finest collections of Southern gospel music you'll find anywhere. And then for those of you that like to sing around the house for your own amusement or amazement or whatever, then I put all 32 of those soundtracks on the tape by itself. So you can get about $320 worth of soundtracks for a fraction of that cost. And we'd appreciate if somebody can see that. And then the Going Back tape, that's one I've been talking about today, has all the old songs on it. We tried to zero in on songs that were written in the early 1900s. I'll Be Satisfied, Farther Along, Looking for a City, I Bowed on My Knees and Cried Holy, When God Dips His Love, a lot of other songs we're proud of. And brother, we have enjoyed the singing today, and the preaching has been wonderful. I never in my life have seen a church that had so much talent as you people have. The Lord has immensely blessed you. It's wonderful. Well, we get tired of just hearing us. We like to hear other people sing every now and then. Kids, y'all come on back here. We're going to do a couple more, and then we'll turn it back to the preacher. This is a song that we recorded back when I was about my kid's age, when I was traveling with my family, and I've only heard maybe one or two other people ever sing. A good friend of ours down in Florida wrote it, and it talks about that consistency that I was talking about. I'm a firm believer it's more important to be consistent today than ever before. I believe that. Most people that are saved nowadays, friends, it's because they're watching the life of a, quote, Christian. You know that? So it's important, the testimony that you have. People are watching us. Anyhow, so we're going to feature Brent a little bit more. One song says, run if you want to and run if you will, but I came here to stay.
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to try to get up, because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fighting, not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay.
Now a champion marched for 40 days and said, send me a man to fight. Then Israelite said, we got a brave heart, but our feet are all full of fright. With a bow and a sling and a handful of rocks, David knew how to trust and pray. If you're going to life, you better run now. I came here to stay.
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to try to get up, because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's fighting, not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay.
A decree was signed by Herod the king, but Daniel still talked to the Lord. Hungry lions were placed in the den, here comes supper one roar. But if you've been around anywhere close, you heard old Daniel say, if you're talking about me, forget it, boys, I came here to stay.
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm gonna try to get up, cause I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's fighting, not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay.
Now the man wouldn't bow, and the king got mad, said, turn the furnace up high. Let's tie him up, throw him in. These four boys are gonna fry. But if you've been around anywhere close, you'll hear Shadrach say, pull up a chair and warm your hands, cause we came here to stay.
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm gonna try to get up, cause I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's fighting, not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay.
I tell you what, preacher, if it'll be okay, I'm going to pick one more. And y'all seem to like a little bit of banjo picking every now and then, so I thought I'd pick one. I want Troy to... Troy has developed on that tambourine what I call the Pentecostal shuffle. Now, that's that double shake business. You know, us Baptist preacher, we're too uncoordinated to do something like that. We just can't get it together, I think. He has practiced that, and he has flat got it down. And it makes me sweat just looking at him, amen. But anyhow, this is a song that the first time I heard it, I heard a pianist playing it as an instrumental. And I thought, well, I'll sit down. And I'll try to figure that thing out. Now, I'll get through playing it. You may think I'm still trying to figure it out. Amen. And it's an old song that says, goodbye, world, goodbye. Now, you know, one thing I've learned about banjo pickers, it doesn't matter how fast you play. Somebody wants you to play a little bit faster. Amen. Like to see a sweat. And I don't normally end up with a song like this before the preacher preaches. I hope you don't mind, brother. And but anyway, we'll speed them up a little bit. Maybe it might make the preacher preach faster or something. Amen. Well, we want to say thank you for having us today. Hope you've enjoyed the Warrens a fraction as much as we've enjoyed being with you. Yeah, the old song says, goodbye, world. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Pastor, we'll turn it back to you.
That is excellent. Amen. You like that? Say amen. Amen. Let's stand. That was great. I tell you, I could sit here and just listen to them pick, play, sing, and whatever all night long. That is refreshing. I enjoy that. I know that you have. Don't forget all of their tapes and things in the back. Genesis chapter 33. We're continuing our way through the book of Genesis. And now for well over a year, about a year and a half, we are making our way through Genesis chapter 33. Tonight, for just a little while, I want us to think about patching things up. Jacob and Esau, as you know, and as we have learned over the past several weeks, for 20 years, they have been divided. But now we find them being reconciled. And that's really what I want to talk to you about tonight, is the matter of reconciliation. It is a tragic thing when brothers and sisters don't get along with one another. Spiritual brothers and sisters. And just to simply put it, you need to patch those things up. That's what you have happening here. Look in Genesis 33, beginning in verse 1. The scripture said that Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And as he divided them and put them in rows, and he passed over before them, bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. Leah also with her children came and near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I have met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore have I seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, "Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee." Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray. And then tonight, for just a little while, I want us to think about patching things up. When there is division among the family, then that division needs to be patched up. Let's pray. Father, tonight our hearts have been encouraged to have met here. We thank you for the truth of God that has been shared with us, both through song and testimony and in various ways, truth to remind us of our position in Christ and the work of the cross. Lord, our hearts have been encouraged as we have seen how that you bless and how you take lives and how you use them even in their childhood. And we thank you, Lord, that we can present ourselves to you and that you can take the gifts and the abilities that we have. And if they're given to you, they can be anointed of you and used of you and will extend the kingdom of God. And we've been encouraged tonight as we have been blessed through the singing of this family, through the choir, and seeing what God does through lives. Now I ask you now that you might speak to our heart. There may be somebody here tonight, Lord, that needs to hear what you've got to say. And I pray, Lord, the Spirit of God would so settle upon us and the Spirit of God would so mightily touch us tonight that it would be more to the heart of this individual, these individuals, and may they, Lord, not just hear what this preacher, may they not just look at it, something a preacher is saying, but may they hear you and may they realize that it is something that you are saying to hearts. So we ask you now that you might work And I pray that this service will be divinely touched of you in its conclusion tonight. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray and ask these things. Amen. When I think about the matter of reconciliation, I think of a story that I read that is one of the most touching stories on reconciliation that I have ever read. Shortly after the turn of the century, Japan invaded, conquered, and occupied Korea. And they overwhelmed, the Japanese overwhelmed the Koreans with a ruthless brutality. One group that was singled out for concentrated oppression was the Christians. And that is always the case in any nation when a nation that is not ruled by Christianity, whenever they take over, one of the first things they do is they attack the Christians. And when the Japanese army overpowered Korea, one of the first things they did was to concentrate their efforts on stamping out Christianity. And one of the very first things they did was they boarded up all of the churches and they ejected most of the foreign missionaries. But there was one Korean pastor that persistently entreated the local Japanese police chief for permission to meet for services. And he kept on and he kept on and he kept on begging and pleading that he have services. Finally, his pleas were accommodated and the police chief ordered that his church be unlocked for one service. He did not say you can have many more services, but he said, I am going to open your church. You have bothered me and bothered me and bothered me. I am going to open your church for one meeting and one meeting alone. Well, it didn't take long for word to travel. And committed Christians starving for an opportunity to worship made their plans. And long before dawn on that promised Sunday morning, Korean families throughout the wide area were making their way to that one church service in that building that had been unlocked for that one Sunday. The Korean church has always had a reputation for singing. And the voices of the believers that morning could not be concealed inside the walls of that tiny wooden frame sanctuary. Song after song rang through the open windows into the bright Sunday morning. And it was during a stanza of Nearer My God to Thee that the Japanese police officer waiting outside gave the order. The people in the back of the church could hear when they barricaded the doors. But no one realized that they had doused the church with kerosene until they smelled the smoke. And because it was a wooden building, it was quickly engulfed in flames. There was an immediate rush for the windows. But momentary hope recalled in horror as the people climbing out the windows came crashing back in, their bodies ripped by a hail of bullets. The pastor knew that it was the end. And with calm confidence, he led his congregation in a hymn. With the fire beginning to engulf the building and smoke burning their eyes, they instantly joined as one to sing, Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Just before the roof collapsed, they sang the last verse, and their words were an eternal testimony to their faith. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. And we sung it a while ago. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The strains of music and the wails of children were lost in a roar of flames. And the bodies that once housed life fused with the charred rubble of a building that was once a church. Clearing the incinerated remains was the easy part. But erasing the hate would take decades. For some of the relatives, the victims, the carnage was too much. The evil had stooped to a new low. And there seemed to be no way to curb the bitter loathing of the Japanese by the Korean people. In the decades that followed, that bitterness was passed on to the next generation. And the Japanese, although conquered, remained a hated enemy of the Korean people. The monument the Koreans built at the location of the fire not only memorialized the people who had died in that fire, but it stood as a mute reminder of the pain and the hatred that these Koreans held for the Japanese. It was not until 1972 that there was a change in how they felt. A group of Japanese pastors were traveling through Korea, and they came upon the memorial. They did not know what had happened there. They did not know the story. And when they read the details of the tragedy, the names of the spiritual brothers and sisters who had perished, they were overcome with shame. They realized their country had sinned. They realized that their country had done a horrible thing, even though not one of those Japanese pastors had anything to do with it. In fact, some of them were not even born at the time of the tragedy. But they still felt a national guilt, and a national guilt that could not be excused. They returned to Japan, committed to right a wrong. And there was an immediate outpouring of love from fellow believers. In just a short time, they raised more than 10 million yen. And the money was used to build a beautiful white church building on the site of that tragedy many, many years before. At the dedication of the new building, when it was held, a delegation from Japan joined the living relatives and the friends and special guests. And although their generosity was acknowledged and their attempts at making peace was appreciated, the memories were still there. And the bitterness of the Koreans had festered for decades, and Christian brothers or not, these Japanese were the descendants of a ruthless enemy. Well, that day the speeches were made, the details of the tragedy were recalled, and the names of the dead were honored. And it was time to bring the service to a close. Someone in charge thought it would be appropriate to conclude with the same two songs that were sung the day the church was burned. And the song leader began to lead them in "Nearer, My God, to Thee." And as he did so, something remarkable happened. His voices mingled on that familiar melody. As the memories of the past mixed with the truth of the song, resistance started to melt. And at the end of the service, the song leader closed the service with the hymn, at the cross where I first saw the light. The normally stoic Japanese could not contain themselves. The tears that had begun to fill their eyes during the song suddenly gushed from deep inside. And they turned to their Korean spiritual relatives and they began to beg as they wept uncontrollably that the Koreans or the Japanese or the Koreans would forgive them for what had been done. The guarded, callous hearts of the Koreans were not so quick to forgive. But the love of the Japanese tore at their emotions. And finally one Korean turned toward a Japanese brother. And then another and toward another, and finally the floodgates that were holding back a wave of emotion let go. And the Koreans and the Japanese met in the middle, and they clung to each other, and they wept. Japanese tears of repentance and Korean tears of forgiveness intermingled to bathe the sight of an old nightmare. And I read that story, and I thought, what a wonderful story of reconciliation. But yet as I look in Genesis chapter 33, I see another wonderful story of reconciliation. It is a story of repentance. It is a story of forgiveness. It is a story of reconciliation. As we have been noticing in our study through Genesis for the past several weeks, here are two brothers that had been at odds with one another for more than 20 years. Jacob and Esau, and you know the background, and I won't take the time to go into it. But for 20 years, there's two brothers that have been at odds with one another. May I say tonight how tragic it is when spiritual brothers and sisters are divided. How troubling it is to see someone carrying around for years in their heart bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness. How terrible that is. And how tragic it is and terrible it is for members of the body of Christ not to be able to get along with one another. That is tragic, that is troubling, and that is terrible. Can I get an amen there? In fact, I think as I see brothers and sisters fighting in one another, I think, don't you realize that the enemy is not each other, but our enemy is the darkness of this world, and that is the real enemy that we fight, and that is the battle that we wage. I am told or have read that when the British and French were fighting in Canada in the 1750s, there was an admiral by the name of Admiral Phipps, and he was commander of the British fleet, and he was told to anchor outside of Quebec. And he was given orders to wait for the British land forces to arrive and then to support them when they attacked the city. Well, as the admiral waited, he became annoyed by the statues of the saints that adorned the towers of the cathedral. So he ordered his men to shoot at them with the ship's cannons. And nobody knows how many rounds were fired or how many statues were knocked out. But when the land forces arrived, the admiral was of no help to them. He had wasted all of his ammunition shooting at the saints. And I think about how many times we are so busy shooting at one another that we are useless in the real battle of life, and that is warring against sin, flesh, and the devil. Can I get an amen there? But here is before us in this story is Esau and Jacob. After 20 years, they are now reconciled. They are patching things up. I want you to mark your place and turn to Matthew 5. And I want to give you three things from the scripture tonight about the matter of patching things up or the matter of reconciliation between born-again people. I want you to notice, first of all, what I want to call the priority of reconciliation. Again, mark your place in Genesis 33 and look at Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, Jesus has given us the Sermon on the Mount. And he makes a statement in verse 23 and verse 24 that tells me that reconciliation, such as we see among Jacob and Esau, is a priority. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 5, beginning in verse 23. He said, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee." And the ideal is that he has something against thee because of your actions, something you have done. He said, "Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Again, Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount is making it very clear that reconciliation is a priority. And when Jesus made this statement in Matthew 5, 23 and 24, he was recalling a principle that was well known to any Jew in those days. When he made that statement, any Jew would have known exactly what Jesus was talking about. And so doing, he makes it very plain that here is a principle that must never be forgotten. Notice what he had to say. Notice the sacrifice that was rejected. You notice again that he talks about thy gift, bringing thy gift in verse 23, leaving thy gift in verse 24. The word gift here is a word that refers to the sacrifice that was offered on the great Day of Atonement. And as you know, the Day of Atonement was held to make atonement for the sins of a whole nation. And they would bring their sin offerings and they would bring their offerings to the Lord on the Day of Atonement to make an atonement for their sin. But every Jew knew that if things were not right with his brother, then they would not accept their sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. They knew that if they brought a sacrifice and something was wrong between them and another individual, that sacrifice would be held until that thing was made right. Because in the mind of the Jew, the breach between God and man could not be healed until the breach between man and man was healed. For example, if a man had stolen something, he would bring his sacrifice, and he'd bring his sacrifice, a sin offering for theft. If he had not restored what he had stolen, they would lay his sacrifice to the side, and he had to go and restore that which he had stolen, make it right with man, and then he would come back, and then his sacrifice would be made. But if they ever discovered that the thing had not been restored, then the sacrifice would be considered unclean, and it would be taken outside the temple and there burned on the outside. And when Jesus said, "Leave your sacrifice, leave your gift," every Jew knew what he was talking about. When he said, "You can bring your sacrifice, but if you are not right with man, then you're not going to be right with God." And here's what Jesus was teaching. That a man cannot be right with his God if he is not right with his brother. And you listen to me very, very, very carefully tonight. If you are not right with every man on the face of this earth, if you are not right with your brother, if you are not right with your sister, then you are not right with God. I may get him up here to sing that song on my toes again. Say amen right there. But that's what he was saying. Look at Matthew 6. In fact, Jesus made it very clear. In Matthew 6, verse 14, that forgiveness of my sins has a whole lot to do with my forgiveness of others. In Matthew 6, verse 14, he said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But Matthew 6, 15, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Here's a sacrifice that is rejected. And is rejected based on the principle that if a man is not right with a man, then he cannot be right with his God. But notice the steps that were required.
It's a sacrifice in what Jesus had to say that was rejected. Take thy gift, lead it to the altar. We can't offer this. Make it right. But then he said in Matthew 5:24, first be reconciled to thy brother. You see that word first? It is a word that talks about that which is first in time, first in place, first in importance. What Jesus was saying was that reconciliation is a priority. Now you listen to me now. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? Say amen. If a person is not right with his brother, his worship will be lifeless. If a person is not right with his brother, his work will be fruitless. And if a person is not right with his brother, his walk will be worthless. Are you listening to me tonight? If a man is not right with someone else, if you in your heart are holding things in your heart against anyone else, I don't care what you say, I don't care how many pews you jump, I don't care how loud you shout, if you are harboring one thing in your heart against anybody else, you are not right with your God. And Jesus said, I don't care what you do, this is the first thing you do. You forget your worship, you forget all of this thing, you forget all of your show, you forget all of your pot. This is a priority. First, be reconciled to your brother. That's the priority of reconciliation. Now go back to Genesis and look at Esau and Jacob. Understanding that Jesus and what he had to say about reconciliation helps us to realize that what is going on here is the most important thing that could have went on in Jacob and Esau's life. Before Jacob had ever go with God, he has met God in a marvelous way. But it is interesting that no sooner has he met God in a marvelous way than the very first thing that he does next is he makes it right with his brother Esau. Look at the second thing. You not only see the priority of reconciliation, but the process of reconciliation. Here's Jacob and Esau. 20 years they hadn't been getting along. 20 years ago, Esau said, I'll kill him when I get a chance. 20 years Jacob's been running. 20 years they've been divided. But now we see them coming together and we see them reconciled. But I want you to notice what is involved in the reconciliation. Notice verse 1, 2, and 3. There is the forgiveness that must be sought. Look in verse 1. Jacob lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. He divided the children into Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over, look at verse 3. Here's Jacob now. He passes over before them, and he bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Now imagine it. 20 years have gone by, and Jacob has known for a long time the moment's going to come. Now it's here. 20 years, these two boys have been at odds with one another. For 20 years, they have been divided. But now the moment arrives, and after 20 years, Jacob is face to face with his brother. But imagine the scene. Here's Esau sitting on his fine stallion, and he's looking down at Jacob with his flocks and his herds. And the moment that the eyes of Jacob fastened upon his brother Esau, he begins the most unusual behavior. He'll take a few steps and then he will bow. He'll take a few more steps and he will bow. 7 times the Bible said he would take a few steps and he would bow as he came to his brother Esau. Now you listen to me. What was he doing? With every step that Jacob took and with every bow that Jacob made, without saying one word, he was saying to his brother sitting up there on that horse, Esau, I am sorry. Esau, please forgive me for what I have done. Esau, I know what I did 20 years ago was wrong. I know that I sinned against you. I know that I hurt you. With every step, with every bow, his actions, he was saying, I want you to forgive me. Please forgive me. I have sinned. I think you can only imagine how humiliating it must have been to Jacob. There is his wives that are watching him. There is his children that are watching him. There is his servants. There is all of those that follow him. And we probably believe that Jacob somewhere around had between 500 and 600 people around him. And there they are watching him humiliate himself. And how humiliating it must have been to him. But he had done wrong, and forgiveness must be sought. And forgiveness was being sought. Now you listen to me. If you have done anybody wrong, you must do what Jacob did. And that is recognize, yes, I have done wrong. Yes, I said something I shouldn't have said. Yes, I've done something I shouldn't have done. And it may be humiliating to your ego, and it may be a jar to your pride to say, I'm sorry, forgive me what I've done. But that is exactly what you have to do. Forgiveness must be sought. Are you with me now? If you have done anybody wrong, I remember years ago, and I thought about it this week, I hadn't thought about it in a long time. As a pastor, there are times you do things that people don't understand. And I've been here 11 plus years, going on 12 years, and we've had a relatively good relationship all of these years, and one I thank God for. But I'm sure through the years I have done things that maybe offended somebody or hurt somebody, and I know that I will in the days to come. Because, I mean, sometimes a pastor has to do things that folks just do not understand, and sometimes they get upset about it. And I remember years ago I had to deal with a situation in the church that I pastored. And I thought it was fine until 6:30 the next morning. My telephone rung. Well, I want to tell you something. At 6:30 in the morning, I have not had my bowl of Wheaties. And at 6:30 in the morning, I have not read my daily bread. And at 6:30 in the morning, I have not read a chapter of the Bible. And I am not in the most spiritual mood at 6:30 in the morning. But I picked up the telephone. It scared me. I thought something's wrong. I picked up the telephone, and all of a sudden, somebody said, what do you mean? And lit in on me about something I had dealt with that didn't happen to involve their son. And like I said, I hadn't been with Jesus yet. I didn't have that heavenly glow about me at that time. And I'll tell you what I did. I lit back into him. I said, what do you mean?